But the main thing is they have to know that it doesn't matter how long you've struggled with your weight. It doesn't matter how much you weigh. And it doesn't matter how old you are. The important thing to know is the only way that you'll never lose weight is if you stop trying.
Welcome to Words to Mouth, an author interview talk show where readers meet authors beyond the printed page and win free books. I'm Carrie, and I'm your host, and I produce this show to introduce you to new authors and the books they write. This show is a companion to my blog website at wordstomouth.com. That's words with an S, T-O, mouth.com. So please be sure to check that out after the show. Today, I'm very excited to have with me Kim Benson. She has a wonderful story about not only losing weight, but changing her lifestyle, her career, and assisting others in making positive changes in their lives. Her book is called Finally Thin, and it comes out at a perfect time for our weight loss New Year's resolutions. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Carrie.
So you have lost over 200 pounds, and you've kept it off for how long?
I just had my five-year anniversary, so I'm so excited about that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It feels wonderful.
I know listeners want to know how you did it and how you continue to maintain it. But first, prior to losing the weight, I think I saw either on your website or in the book that you had said you were eating yourself to death.
Yes.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about growing up and your personal weight struggle? You really put a lot of the details in your book. Just tell us a little bit about your upbringing and, you know, how that shaped your view of the world and your self-image.
You know, a lot of people ask me if I was always obese, and the answer honestly is no. However, I did always have a strong drive for food. I was the kid in the family that cared who got the leftovers and, you know, who got the biggest portion, when dinner was. I was always focused on food, but, you know, we were a really active family, into sports, and so I burned off much of it, but I was always a little bit chubbier than my brother and sister, and I really felt it growing up.
Yeah, I noticed that in the book, you've got that picture there with your brother and sister, and it says something about comparing yourself to them, and, you know, I lead a small group in church, in our youth group, and the girls right now that I'm with are in eighth grade, and I'm realizing that that's kind of a key point in their lives when they're really starting to compare themselves to other girls, and they are very healthy, all of them that are starting to have these, you know, these struggles with their body image. And I just wonder how you maybe counseled, you know, your daughter or what kind of advice you could give me or other adults on how to, how to reach these girls and help them not fall into that same yo-yo.
Yeah,
you know.
It's such a tough age, first of all, because we're so self-conscious at that age in particular, and other kids can really be brutal. But, I want to point out that my family wasn't really focused on weight. It was just me. Like, I was always standing next to my brother, who was a year older, and we were best friends, and he was a foot shorter, so I got my height early, and I felt gawky, and I knew that I liked food more. So from my perspective, it really wasn't that it was others putting it on me. It was more internal, and I think a lot of kids feel that. And the other thing is, I had four children of my own, and I've been married 25 years to the most wonderful man on earth. And the first two, there's a big spread. The first, I have a daughter and a son who are 20 and 22. And when they were growing up, I was 350 pounds, and I was doing the drive-through, and I was giving them, I felt like a mom who was a junkie. I was giving them these terrible habits, but I was, and I knew I was doing it. I mean, I was, you know, intelligent person. I just, by that point in my life, I was so consumed with food, and I had yo-yoed and tried every diet and increased and gained, and I was over 200, and then I was over 300, to the point where, you know, my whole life was really about food, whether it was trying to lose weight or how little I should have, or, you know, going through the drive-thrus and eating inordinate amounts of food. So the first two were raised with very unhealthy eating habits. The last two, I gave birth to, honestly, when I was 350 pounds. They're 7 and 9. They're two little boys. But right after the youngest was born is when I started, and I lost my weight on Weight Watchers. But I had done it a million times before, you know. But I started when he was 9 months old. So the last two were kind of more raised with healthier eating habits. But honestly, one of my older two struggles and one of my younger two struggles with, you know, the real love for food. So it's just every family, I think, is touched by it to some degree. And it's a real struggle.
So at this point, you're just really trying to be a good role model and show them the choices.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you want to focus on health. You want to focus on not on weight or looks. You want to, you know, my little guys, I talk to them about the five a day. Okay, if you had your five fruits and vegetables today, before each meal, what I do is before each meal, I say to them, okay, what are you going to have for your fruit or vegetable? Because especially for Alan, the 9-year-old, it's a struggle. He doesn't care for any of them, and it's a real frustration. So I say to him, you know, you've got your few that you really like. What are you going to have before you eat everything else? But I approach it from a health standpoint so that he can grow healthy and strong. I don't approach it from looks, that kind of thing. So I think that's really important as far as, you know, raising the kids are concerned. And the other thing that's really important for moms is we carry so much guilt. We carry so much guilt over our kids. I mean, I think guilt and motherhood, the terms go hand in hand. And I knew that I was giving them such a poor example and a poor eating habit, traits and tendencies and habits. But then what I did was I realized now that what I've given them that's been the greatest gift of all is to see an area where I've struggled that was really hard for me and how it's never too late to turn it around. And so that example, even though I gave them bad eating habits growing up, that example of overcoming it has been really fantastic for them. And so I encourage moms, don't wear the guilt. Work on yourself and let those habits trickle down to your kids.
I love that. I love that perspective. That's great advice. Well, let's step back a little bit. And finally, Thin, you reveal some very personal and embarrassing parts of your struggle. You had just mentioned the drive-through, and maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yep.
And then talk a little bit about what motivated you to share such personal, private parts of yourself, and maybe what the hardest part of writing this book was for you.
You know, writing it honestly wasn't that hard because I was writing it for me. And so I was remembering everything and I was getting it all out. And some of the stories, even though they're horrifically embarrassing, or they were at the time, you know, I got a chuckle out of remembering some of them and writing them down. Of course, at the time, I didn't feel that way. But I do remember somebody said to me, actually one of my new employees said to me, I'd be happy to read your book for you now that you're done writing it and you've submitted it. The manuscript, and I really value his opinion and everything. And I looked at him and I said, then you'd know all the awful things. And my husband looked at me and Mark said, Kim, you know, I'm sure Random House is paying for this book and they expect other people besides you and I to read it. He said, you've got to really decide what you want, girl, because this is going out to everyone. It is not a book for the faint of heart. It is, as you said, it shows a lot of my struggles and, you know, the amounts of food I was eating in the end. Because you know what? To sustain 350 pounds is a lot of calories. Mm-hmm. And I was still gaining. So that's a lot of food. So you can only imagine at a local place out here called Duchess, the between meal drive-through snack was two hamburgers for the works, two hot dogs for the works, two large fries, two German chocolate cake slices, and two large diet sodas because I wanted the guy at the drive-through to think the order was for two people, so I got the two sodas to go with it. Of course, when I pulled up, I don't think I was fooling anybody, but that was a lot of food, obviously.
Right.
So that was really hard to be able to share all that, but it was really important to me that people know how bad it was, because when you get to be over 200 and over 300 pounds and even more, you wonder if anybody has a clue what you're talking about. You see thin people on TV talking about eating thin, or somebody that's lost 40 pounds. Now, I can relate to somebody needing to lose 40 pounds, but I got to tell you, somebody who's 350 pounds doesn't think that that person can relate to them very well. And I wanted people to know how bad it was so they could see you can be this degree of in-depth with food and still overcome it. Really,
yeah,
important.
I think that's very, I think it's very brave, and I think it's a wonderful gift to people that you opened yourself up and were so vulnerable to reveal that.
Thank you. I hope other people feel that way. It is a very strong book.
Yeah. Okay, and so that was basically, was that your motivation to just reach out and help other people?
Yes, exactly. I became a Weight Watcher leader after I lost all my weight. But I was on a lot of national media. I was on the cover of Prevention and the Today Show several times. And what happened was I started getting emails and we set up a website. And I was encouraging other people and telling them some of the things I did different this time that I hadn't done in all the other times I had tried different diets. And so I was getting all these tips and I was rewriting this book, to be honest with you, over and over and over again. And so when I was approached to write the book, it was just, oh, this is it. This is the answer. This is a way to tell everybody not only my story, but also to give them tips on, you know, what I think is really important, no matter what diet you're following, that really would help or really helped me, and how to take any diet, because I don't think there's one diet that's right for everyone. So to find the right diet, the diet that's right for you, and then weave it into every fabric of your life so it becomes your lifestyle. And so that's kind of the goal of the whole book.
And I want to talk about that in a little bit more detail, but I am interested to hear, when was the turning point for you? When did that finally change? Because I want to just, the readers don't know, or the listeners don't know yet, unless they've read the book, that you started in Weight Watchers when you were like in fourth grade.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting to see the whole cycle and where you are now. But when did that finally turn for you?
Well, fourth grade, I was just overweight enough to really to know that I was overweight. And it was just to the point where kids were starting to notice, and I really wanted to be thin. And my mom had heard about this great diet that, you know, was healthy. And she asked me if I wanted to go just to get some good healthy eating tips. And back then you could go in fourth grade, which now you can't without a doctor's note and all that. So I did go then. I lost my weight, but didn't live on it, started gaining it back. The thing that with me was there wasn't one event that changed. I mean, there were so many embarrassing moments. Everybody would think, you know, that was what did it. That was what did it. I just never gave up. I was always trying the next diet, always trying the next thing, always wanting it so bad I could taste it. And then I completely gave up for a year. I've got to be honest. There was a year where I just said, you know what? Nuts to this. I can't do it. I don't care. If I'm going to eat myself to death, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to try anymore because I failed on yet another diet. And I was so discouraged and so sad. And I just said, I'm not ever looking at another diet again. The miracle and the turning point for me was I was so huge at this point, I couldn't even put on my own shoes. I couldn't even walk very well without, you know, a lot of pain in my feet. And it was just really hard living. And one morning I was praying, and I was just pouring my heart out to God. And I said, God, I know I'm eating myself to death. My husband was having a lot of health struggles. He not food related. He's been a diabetic since he was 7. So juvenile diabetes. He had heart issues. And I said, here's a guy who's given a body that, you know, has already got challenges, and he's doing his best to stay healthy for our family. And here's me with a wonderful, healthy body, and I'm killing it. And I was just feeling absolutely miserable, and I just started to pray, and I just really asked God to give me the strength to try again. And that was the miracle. That was when I was, after a year of hiatus from any kind of diet at all, I was really ready to turn it around, and I went back to Weight Watchers again with a girlfriend. And I weighed in at 347 pounds, and it took me 2 years to the day to lose 212 pounds, and that was just the beginning of my journey that morning.
No, that's an inspiring story. So your faith has played a huge part in this for you.
You know, I think whatever faith you are, that weight loss is three parts. It's physical. You got to get out there and do it. And you got to figure out ways to make it enjoyable. And you've got to figure out the right recipes and the right diet. It's very physical. It's also very emotional, of course, because nobody got fat from being physically hungry. You get fat from being head hungry, you know. You get overweight from that drive to eat that's stronger than any physical hunger is. And so it's the whole emotional end of things and how you can turn that around and change your habits. And then there is the spiritual aspect, whether it plays a big part in some people's life or not. It's where do you get that strength to keep going when, you know, the strength for perseverance and that inner drive. And for me, that did play a strong part, the spiritual end, yeah.
Okay, well, tell us, let's go back to the way that you set the book up. We've talked a lot about your personal, you know, your background that you've put in the beginning of the book. Talk to us about when you mentioned the different plans that people can look into, and this is almost kind of like a companion book to whatever plan somebody chooses, correct?
Right. It's not a diet. I think there's a lot of good diets out there, so I wasn't about to write a new diet. But it's, how do you find the diet? Well, the first third is my story. And then the second third, I say, okay, it's your turn now. Let's figure out how you're going to do it. And so it starts with just a really brief overview of weight loss in general. And then it talks about, there's a little mini quiz that I think is very important for people to read through the questions and think through before they're looking at what diet's right for them. It's things to consider, like, what kind of support do you need? Like, I love going to the weekly meetings and that rah, 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 and you can do it, and the weigh-ins. Some people don't want the one-on-one support. Some people need a medical support, whatever kind of support. So there's a lot of questions that get you thinking about what you need. And then I list the top 25, 30 diets that are on the market today. And it's not, the thing that I think I bring to people is I'm not selling one particular diet plan. I'm not evaluating them from this is good, this isn't good. I kind of give the overview of what they offer, the costs involved with each, and it's like a paragraph for each diet. So then there's kind of like, I call it window shopping. There's the diet shop. And then once you pick it, there's, I think there's the steps that are important no matter what diet you're doing. And so that's what the 10 steps are all about. And those were the things that I did differently this time, the things that I think are really important, knowing how to eat out, knowing how to stock your cupboards, things like that. So it's the whole, and how to stay motivated long term. I mean, people look at me and say, how did you stay motivated for 2 years? And I look at them and I say, 2 years? Are you kidding me? If I was stopped trying to keep myself motivated after 2 years, I would have yo-yoed my way back up again. It's, you know, how do you stay motivated for life? How do you really do this and keep it off and not go back up again? Whether it's, you know, 12 pounds, 112 or 212, it's that motivation. You've got to keep going. So that's what the 10 steps are. And then cooking played a really big role in my weight loss because I'm a volume eater. So I like a handful of chicken pot pie, you know, just tastes like more to me. It doesn't satisfy me, especially in the beginning, not as much so now, but especially in the beginning, I needed to have an awful lot of food to feel satisfied mentally. So what I did was I started writing these recipes as I went. It wasn't right off the bat, but as I went, I started writing these recipes that were lighter but really good tasting and quick and easy because I'm not like a gourmet cook or anything. So stuff that everybody likes that they can have in bigger portions for less calories and fat. And so that's what the recipes are all about in the back.
There are some really great recipes, and you offer, what is there, like 70, something like that? There's a lot of
70, yep.
And I do like the way that you give a synopsis of the different plans, and I like the survey because then you can, like you say, you just kind of pick what's right for you, and then you've got the tools there to be successful. So I think it's a great book.
Thank you.
You know,
I'm excited about it. I haven't read any reviews yet. I'm really hoping people love it as much as I do. But, you know, it's just after leading meetings and counseling people over the internet, we have a great website that's been set up to support this. We have new recipes that come out every week. And it seems to me to address the needs that I hear that are out there from people. So that's kind of how the book was. But it's just such an exciting time, and I so appreciate you chatting with me about it.
We all have our addictive tendencies, and they tend to manifest themselves differently. But with food, if you are an emotional eater, there's obvious side effects, and I think that society's really not very nice about it, you know. And so I wonder what some of your struggles are. What are the struggles that you hear from people on the website? What's the main struggles that they have, and what advice do you have?
Well, a lot of times it really runs the gamut. Some of it is eating in different circumstances, like eating at work. People bring in food all the time, and I sit right next to it. And, you know, I go into the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and it's all laid out there. So a lot of workplace struggles. There are people that say, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to start, and I don't have the money for a program, you know, to help me. There's just so many concerns out there. And I'll give you one for, going out to somebody's house. A lot of people, it's a new year, people are starting off, and, you know, we're going to friends' homes and things like that. And here's a great one. somebody had brought this concern to me just this morning, and they were doing a potluck, and they said, you know, I got there, and there was so much great food, and I said, well, you know what, it's a potluck, so your job is to bring not just the one item, but to say, oh, I'll not just bring, you know, an appetizer, but I'm also going to, I'd love to bring a salad in and a main dish, and so bring two or three items, and now you know that at least you've got two or three of your favorite items, you know how they fit into your program, whatever that program is, and you're well taken care of for yourself, so don't be afraid to bring food places and to speak up. So that's, you know, a really important part of it, is being prepared. I think a lot of times people really hope that this is going to happen, and they really want it to happen pretty badly and, you know, desperately even, and yet it's the time involved to take the steps to lay out your day, to figure out what the best foods at the grocery store are. And that's why part of my book has a guilt-free grocery list in it. I mean, I'm not tied to any of those as sponsors or anything like that. These are just really the foods that are the lightest on the market so that you know how to have a lighter cracker than the next cracker. You know, a lot of the work's done for you already because it does take time, and putting the time in is really important.
And I appreciate that because I'm always looking for healthy choices for my kids, and a lot of the options that you have in there are not only low calorie, but they're healthy options. They're, you know, they stay away from the trans fats and the...
Right.
You know, sometimes low fat means high sugar. So
you've got to learn how to read a label, don't you, Carrie? It's so important because there's so many hidden things in there. Like it may say no trans fats, but that's probably oftentimes it's per serving size. So what you have to realize is a lot of times they make the serving size minuscule, and if it's less than half a gram of fat or less per serving, they're allowed by the USDA to say it's fat-free or trans fat-free. But if it says in the actual ingredient list, partially hydrogenated oil, then that's an indication that there's some trans fat in there. It's just too, you know, small for that serving size to be able to list. So learning all these little things, and that's why there's a really short page, really label reading 101 in there that helps you get a handle on what to look for and what not to look for so that you're not deceived.
Yeah, it's really educating yourself on what to look for and just making sure you've got, like you say, you've got your pantry stocked with healthy things. It is easy to get, you know, to fall off that wagon. Before I forget, I wanted to mention that Kim has offered a free copy of her book, Finally Thin. So go to wordstomouth.com and leave a comment under this interview post, or you can call 206-309-7318 and leave a voicemail comment, and you'll be entered to win. Just be sure to subscribe to my e-newsletter so you can find out who wins this lovely book. I wanted to ask you, your career has actually changed since... I mean, this is kind of a whirlwind. Yeah, it's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I would love to. You know, I used to have a job as a graphic designer, and I actually worked out of my home, and I had clients, and then when I got so large, I had a hard time going out and meeting new clients, and my whole world was just really crumbling as far as my social aspects and my work aspects. So my husband he worked outside the home. He had a great job, and I was basically staying at home, I was working at home doing the mom thing, which took all of my energies at that point in time. And when I lost my weight, my older two were starting to head to college, and so I actually got a job waitressing for a while because it was I wanted something that I could do and be home during the day for my kids, and then I would waitress for dinner time. So I'd waitress a couple nights a week, and when this whole thing started to take off like crazy, and I started to be on a lot of the national media, and Extra TV did a piece, and there was so much going on there that I...
Kim, I'm going to interrupt you for one second because you've mentioned this a couple times. How did you ever get on all of these different shows in the beginning?
Well, I was on, I lost my weight through Weight Watchers, so they were aware of me, and they called and asked me if I would be on their website, weightwatchers.com, as one of their success stories.
Okay.
I said, of course, I would love to, you know. So I went in, I was like a star for the day, and it was so much fun, and they did this, you know, lovely piece on me and my weight loss and 200 pounds gone and all that. Well, from there, Women's World put me on the cover, and then Prevention Magazine, and then I was on the Today Show. And so we just kept snowballing, and one of the things that Prevention said to me was, if you write your recipes that you use to help you lose the weight into a small cookbook, we'd be happy to promote it. And I only had a few weeks, but I was a graphic designer, so we did a small self-published cookbook and created a website to go with it in a very short amount of time. we started out doing an email newsletter for 100 of my family members and friends, and the list has now grown to almost 20,000 self-subscribed members. The website is absolutely huge with a ton of recipes and the newsletter that goes out and tips and that kind of thing, and I chat with people all the time. And then the biggest news is the one thing that I was missing was bagels. Because a bagel is about 5 or 6 points, and I did Weight Watcher points, and that was like half my daily calorie, a quarter of my daily calories. So okay. We came up with Kim's Light Bagels, and they're only one Weight Watcher point, and they come in, they're only 110 calories, they're really high in fiber, and they come in 6 great flavors. So we didn't know anything about the food industry, and I went to like Stop and Shop corporate headquarters in ShopRite, and I said, you know, I don't know much about food, but these are really good bagels, and you know, I just went in with my little pitch and my basket and my napkins, and I let them sample it up at the corporate level, and they said, well, we'll try you in 40 stores and see how you do. They put us in the 40 stores. They were planning on doing it for like a 12-week period. After 2 weeks, we were selling out everywhere like crazy, and they put us in over 500 stores, and we continue to sell out. Now we're in over 1,000 stores, so we're throughout New England, and we do a huge online order business. And next year, here's the big news. We're coming out with English muffins and breads, but they all have a unique twist, and they're all light to kind of, you know, help people make their journey enjoyable, because I didn't want to live a life without bagels. So
I love it.
Now we have a staff of 6 full-time people, and we do a lot as far as weight loss support is really what it's all about, and it's like the love of my life.
Well, that's awesome, because I think my daughter especially loves bagels, and they are so high in calories, and I like there's a certain brand of English muffins that I love, but yeah, it gets to be a little bit, you have that guilty feeling, so I'd love to be able to try those. I'm going to check it out on the online and
see if I'll send you some. You can let me know what you think.
Okay, maybe I'll have to stick a ad thing on my website for you if people want to know how to get those.
If you want to give away a 6-pack of bagels, one of each flavor, I'm happy to give it away through your site too and let people try them.
Okay, that'd be great. We'll
Good.
Do that. Great. Okay. Well, let me ask you, I wanted to ask you this question. What was the best advice you've ever received about weight control or even relationships or just life in general? And do you follow it?
That is, you know what, I have to say, it's a Bible verse. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And you know what? It's like God's our biggest cheerleader. And the one thing he promises is that we're never going to have more than we can handle. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's how we feel, is that, you know, I can't do this. And I love what you said earlier is everybody struggles with something. And what I always hated about my weight was that everybody knew what my struggle was. It wasn't
right.
Like, oh, really? You have a weight problem? I didn't know. But, right. You know, of course, it was very obvious, and I hated the fact that everybody knew what my problems were. And so that was really hard, and I always felt like it was more than I could handle. But the promise is that it's not. We never get more than we can handle, and with each trial, God gives us a way out. And I've clung to that with both hands for 5 years now, and and I believe it with all my heart.
Yeah, it's obvious. Well, I know that my father has passed away, but he struggled with, you know, he was addicted to cigarettes. And I remember as a small kid taking his ashtrays, taking his cigarettes and hiding them and,
yeah.
You know, just gave him a hard time all the time until probably about 10 years before he died. I just realized, I'm like, he knows, and anybody who's overweight or anybody who struggles with alcohol or whatever, they know their addiction, they know their problem, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't help to be judgmental. It's that compassion that I think just totally is apparent in what you're doing and in your book that I think that people will tap into and take a hold of, because, you know, you obviously get it. I love on your website, I really encourage people to go check it out, the pictures that you have and the way that you can just sit there and watch you go from, you know, the 300 plus down size. Now it's really, it's
you know
very
how that came about?
Striking.
My oldest daughter was taking a picture of me every few weeks as I was losing my weight in my weight. I called it my weigh-in outfits. I always wanted to wear the same clothes so I knew exactly what I weighed, not my clothes, you know.
Okay.
So that's
uh-huh.
how that series of pictures came to be. But I, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. You go.
Sorry, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I saw the picture of you and your daughter in that pair of pants. I don't know if that's on your website or if I saw it on another, on the interview. You both are standing in the pair of pants that you once wore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, I do. There's a couple shots with Alita and I in the pants, and there's a couple where we actually put my 7-year-old in too, so the three of us are in a pair.
Oh,
I do remember what I wanted to say. I have a lot of family members that call me and say, you know, my daughter, you've got to help her, you've got to help her. And exactly what you were saying earlier, it's not that the daughter doesn't know or the wife doesn't know that she's got a problem. It's what kind of support are you giving? Are you always on them about it? It's not that they don't already know they've got a problem. It's like my husband told me I was gorgeous when I was 350 pounds. I mean, he hurt for me because I was hurting. He held me when I cried about how I look and felt, but he knew he couldn't lose the weight for me. And the incredible knowing that I could always do it that he had, even though I didn't think I could always do it, he knew I could always do it. And that kind of support is the exact invaluable kind of support that people need when they're struggling like that.
Yeah, it's that safe place to fall that I think Dr. Phil talks about.
Yeah,
that's, you've got a really lovely, lovely dedication to Mark. And at the bottom, I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is code or if you can tell me what that NNBILYM means.
No, baby, I love you more.
Oh, that's cute.
It's been a family thing for years and years and years, and we kind of sign off with that, and he was surprised to see it in the book. He hasn't seen the dedication until it came out.
Oh.
And he's been my rock, you know, my safe place, like you say, and he's given me so much, and that's why I had Alita take those pictures, because he gave me so much money we didn't have and so much support over the years that I wanted to make a flip book for him so that he could see me lose 200 pounds over and over again. That's how I came about, and it became this incredible shrinking woman, as it's called on the internet. It's really funny.
It's awesome. I think it's very, you know, very inspirational and encouraging. This is one of the questions that I ask all my authors, so you have to bear with me. It's off topic, but what are you reading right now?
You need to know what I'm reading right now?
Yeah.
I read the Bible every day,
okay.
And I'm reading a book by John Piper. He's a wonderful author, and I absolutely love, I'm reading to my kids Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay.
We were reading that last night.
Okay, well, I will put those on. I always put those in the show notes just so people can get some other ideas. Kim, what's next for you?
Well, I'm hoping a second book. I'd like to really focus on childhood obesity and losing weight as a family. So I'd love to do a second companion piece to this. And I've been, we're doing a virtual meeting online, because there are so many people that want support and want the motivation to go with whatever diet they're doing, and yet don't have the money or the time weekly to go to different meetings. They're home with kids and they can't get out, or, you know, for whatever reason, they're working at night. So this is something that they could come to online or download and play back later. But I'd love to do a live streaming chat video so that people could actually just talk with me. And so we're working the details on that out now and hoping to be able to announce it officially and start it come January.
That's a really an incredible way to use technology, because you're right. Some people just can't get to those meetings for whatever reason. And
right.
What a great way to be able to play it over if you need that extra little dose before the next one rolls around.
Well, I always ask myself, what would have helped me and what does help me? I mean, I still have to keep myself motivated today. And so the things that we come up with here at the office are things that we've all been there, you know, and we all brainstorm, and we welcome input from people that are out there. What is going to help you? Because, you know, this is turning out to be the number one killer in America, and we want to help people overcome it. But the main thing is they have to know that it doesn't matter how long you've struggled with your weight. It doesn't matter how much you weigh, and it doesn't matter how old you are. The important thing to know is the only way that you'll never lose weight is if you stop trying.
I was just going to ask you what your biggest message to listeners is, but I'm not going to now.
That's it.
I think that's it. That's great. Is there anything else you'd like to offer before we go?
No, just that I really appreciate you doing this. It's a gift to me. So thank you.
Sure. Okay, I will go ahead and, like I said before, I will put Kim's website address on wordstomouth.com. It's actually, let's go ahead and tell them what it is. It's Kim Benson, and you spell it BENSEN.com,
yep.
Right? Okay.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay. And then listeners, feel free again to visit wordstomouth.com and also call 206-309-7318 and share your thoughts on the book, Finally Thin, this interview. If you want to share your personal struggles, I think that we could get a conversation started on the website, and I would be happy to play those messages on air. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and join me in thanking Natalie Brown for her song, You Gotta Believe, from the PodSafe Music Network. And thanks for listening, and take good care until next time.
Hi, Carrie. This is Jennifer Tuttle. I just listened to your geography of the Burlesque, and if you could put me into the drawing, that would be great. I really like it. I guess I would be a borderline between a 6 and an 8, somewhere in between them, and of happiness. And I'm single, and I have a child, but, you know, I know how they said that if you're single, you're usually not that happy, but I am. And just wanted to say thank you for doing your broadcast, and I'm much, much more happier when you and the Divas get together. And I love listening to your words to mouth. Have a good day, and bye.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure
Carrie,
talking.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
I really enjoyed this, and I wish you all the best with this. I don't think you're going to need the luck. I was going to mention, you know, I know that you had to have seen Oprah this past week, you know, reveal her struggle. So
yeah.
I know that, you know, this kind of thing is coming out at a perfect time, and I think that you're going to have great success. You know, your energy shines through and your intention shines through, and I think that people are going to really, I just think it's exciting to hear your story, that it's just been such a total life shift for you, you know?
Yeah, it's really fun. I feel very blessed.
It shows that you're very humble, and it's going to be neat to see what this all evolves into. So
thanks,
anyway,
sweetheart, you're very encouraging to me. I appreciate it.